last Palm Sunday, we got a new gay messiah. Substitute a donkey for the old Studebaker car factory, and instead of the title of Prince of Peace, we may one day have President of the United States of America, Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg seems like a progressive, but we don't really know his policies yet. So far, he's a very likable person, and is no doubt the first serious out gay contender for the office of president.
Today, we're taking a look at whether America will swipe right for Pete like he did when he met his future husband on a hookup app. And since he was once on a dating app, where are his shirtless pics?
Plus, WikiLeaks says Julian Assange's cat is safe after his arrest, but cats in California are in real danger.
The mashed potato phantom continues to haunt Mississippi, and it's not Mark Thelian.
A bald eagle three-way relationship gets very complicated.
And artificial intelligence predicts who will rule at the end of Game of Thrones.
And the wait is over. T.S. Madison, loud, live, and in color, kicks off our all-new season of Cooking with Drag Queens.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Gillian.
And this is Feast of Fun. Buttigieg, Buttigieg, Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
And you say it three times fast, he appears. The King of Cocks. That's what some right-wing pundit, some right-wing, in quotations, Christian is calling him, saying he's like, America's going to hell in a handbasket. We're going to make a gay man a sodomite president of the United States. Oh, no.
Well, you know, it's going to be a very hard run for him. That's for sure. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to hold the gay card against him. But I don't think they'll hold the gay card against him as much as the Democratic card against him. People who are Republicans are just not going to vote for him.
Yeah, that's true. I was, you know, expecting Alyssa Edwards to come and do a death drop or Shannon. I'm really surprised that Pete Buttigieg, being the first serious, first front runner, openly gay candidate for president of the United States, considering how important camp sensibilities are to gay men's survival, I'm surprised that we haven't seen a campy moment yet, except their campaign using Streisand's Don't Rain on My Parade from the 1964 musical Funny Girl. You guys are familiar with that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. So the fact that they use that as sort of his entrance music is really great.
Well, it was raining, right?
It was raining and snowing in Chicago.
It was snowing here in Chicago, and then in South Bend, I think that they probably just got the rain. And so, you know, I think they said like 4,000 people were inside of the old Studebaker factory. You know, 1,000 some were outside. They couldn't get in. People took the train in because South Bend is the end of the South Shore Limited here in Chicago. So people, you know, went out there. They really want to support this guy. People are in love with Peter Buttigieg.
Honey, if I saw him on one of those hookup apps, I'd swipe right. You know what I'm saying? He's cute. He's goofy. I like cute, goofy. He has that Mark Thelian low voice that I like.
You know, there was something about him. I kept looking at him, and he looks like one of the aliens from Galaxy Quest. I'll put a picture up.
Oh, you're terrible. No.
Listen, but they were very friendly aliens,
They were the good guys.
They were the good guys. Yes. You know, well, when they took that human, spoiler alert, they kind of take a more human form. They have another form, which,
the squid people.
Yeah, the squid people.
But they were sexy squid people, find out later in the movie.
You know, listen.
Spoiler alert.
I think you would enjoy having sex with something with a lot of tentacles.
I don't think I would.
You would be surprised where those tentacles could go and what they could do. Listen, tentacle porn's super big in Japan.
Hey, guys. You guys have tuned in to get us to talk about Pete Buttigieg. First of all, we're not pronouncing him Pete Buttigieg. Right, what is the correct pronunciation?
You're saying it right. You've been saying it the whole time, right?
Pete Buttigieg is what he wants people to say.
You don't say it like that. You say Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. But I like saying booty judge.
Well, yeah.
Judge, just remember, the second half of Judge Judy and the thing you like, booty.
Listen, you can only judge my booty if you judge it right.
Pete, Mayor Pete.
Mayor Pete, people call him. But I guess all his, you know, his husband, who took his last name.
Why wouldn't he?
You know, I guess if my husband were mayor, too, I would take... I think if I had a husband who was an important person, I would probably...
Oh, my God!
I would take his last name, too.
Thanks a lot.
But, you know, it's Chasten Buttigieg, I guess.
So, are you saying that... What? Hold on a second, Mark. What? If I actually ran for political office and won, you would change your last name to Mark Felian? I mean, Furnos. This is the problem. Our names sound so much like each other already.
Right.
Which
right,
is
right.
Like, it's what's the point?
Yeah, so what's the point? Anyway, what was I talking about? His name.
So, Pete Buttigieg, or yes. We like to call him, and officially, guys, from now on, we will just say Pete Buttigieg. And understand that we know the right way to pronounce it and the way we want to pronounce it.
I'm just going to say it how I say it. If it comes out, it comes out. That's the way it is.
You know? No, I want to call him Pete Buttigieg.
Yes. And you also call him by his as only she.
What? The gender pronoun?
Well, yeah, you know, if you don't want to say somebody's name the way they were, why bother using their gender pronoun?
So you're saying that we're being disrespectful by saying Buttigieg and we should say Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Okay.
You should say that.
I guess I'll take it back.
Well, it's fun if it's playful, you know what I mean? But if it's over time, you know, it can kind of become distracting to the real story you want to
Buttigieg.
Tell. Buttigieg, right?
It's not as much fun as Buttigieg.
I know, but...
And if he really wanted to have some fun, he would be like, Buttigieg, honey, you know what I'm saying? Because, look, these right-wing conservatives, they have called him the king of cocks.
Yes.
And everybody on the internet... You know, they got all quiet and they looked at me and said, will you be releasing a t-shirt? And I said, you better believe it, baby. King of Cox t-shirts available now at feastoffun.com/store.
Will you have an actual cock on the t-shirt?
No, like a rooster? Why not? You're like,
maybe.
Okay, so no Pete Buttigieg pronunciation, no King of Cox shirts. What else can I not do?
Well, you can do King of Cox shirts. I just wonder how well they'll sell. Will people buy them? Listeners, will you buy them? Let us know.
Well, Mark will not be buying
them. I just, you know, listen, you came out with a t-shirt that said cock is cool. You made it in the 90s, right? You held on to some of them for years because, as your friend Kirthy says, it was a really hard t-shirt to wear.
But this is 2020, honey. Yeah. We're going to have a gay president. We're on the campaign trail for 2020.
Okay.
We're going to have a gay president.
Right.
It's time to, you know, put King of Cox on a t-shirt. And what does it mean to have a serious contender as a gay man for president? Because this is something that is going to bring into question. You're already hearing the difference in approach between Mark and I.
Yeah.
And our relationship is really a microcosm of the tension that America is going through in left and right and in progressive and regressive and in flamboyant and conservative. Is this idea that, you know, those two things that makes the United States what it is can't coexist. And having a gay president, you know, Pete is a very square guy, you know. He's not somebody who, like, dresses in drag on a spare time.
Right.
You know, he's not a radical fairy. He doesn't go to discos. He just recently came out in 2015. He just started his Instagram account in 2015. He's not even been on social media that long. Mm-hmm. I mean, half of you guys have been, you know, you guys were on MySpace before you got on Facebook. You guys were on... You know,
Friendster.
Boy Ahoy before you got on Grindr, before you got on this, done that.
We were doing this podcast for 10 years before this guy even came out of the closet.
I'm thinking that Pete probably listened to the show.
At some point in time, if you ever, you know, we've had a lot
He's terrified to come on the show. That's all that. He is like, girl, I'm running for the hills. I cannot talk to you guys.
Sorry.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you know, the gay community is a rainbow and it takes all kinds. And, you know, maybe Pete is the bland, I would call him not bland, but, you know, he's the
nice. He's charming. He seems sweet. He seems engaging and he seems very concerned and he seems very service oriented, right?
Yeah.
He seems like a person who wants to do the right thing. He wants to serve people. He wants to lead.
If I went into the DMV, I would want him to wait on me.
But the thing is, though, too, is like you, when you see these politicians talk on these news stations, or we've even had politicians that have come here and talked, and they've been, you know, they've been nice and they've been fine, but a little dull. But once that microphone is off, a lot of them are telling you the funniest jokes.
Sassy divas.
They're sassing. Yeah. They're super engaging. They're super charismatic. And perhaps once he's off camera, maybe he's like that, too. I don't know.
I don't know what's going to happen with Pete, and he's definitely being a little coy, and I'm noticing the way they talk about his sexuality is very much aligned with the way Ellen DeGeneres talked about her sexuality. When she first came out of the closet, she was very hesitant to use the word lesbian, for example. Mm-hmm. And Pete is sort of like, sometimes speaks in code about his sexuality more, you know, it's, and I've noticed this myself as a public person. It's easier to talk about my marriage to you than it is to talk about my sexuality as a gay man. Like, it's, people are like, man, Fausto's married to Mark?
Yeah! Woo! Yeah. Or if you just say I'm gay, they're like, oh, you and suck saying, dick.
No, it's like, I went to Steamworks once, and they were like, oh my God! I dress up in drag on the weekends. Oh my God, my pearls. Where are my pearls? I can't clutch enough pearls. And so, you know, with what does it mean to have a gay man who is happily married? With, they make apple pies on Instagram. And his husband, you
that's
know.
Very American.
Exactly, right? And there's very few, like I'm trying desperately to Photoshop a photo of Pete onto a muscular, like, attractive military guy the way they did with Bill Clinton and Al Gore back in the 92 election. And I cannot find a photo of Pete Buttigieg shirtless, and I can't even find a photo of him having that bedroom face.
Ooh.
Which Bill Clinton had plenty of those.
Lots of bedroom faces everywhere. Yeah, I remember that. That picture really made the rounds, didn't it, of Al Gore and Bill Clinton. They really made them seem like they were lovers.
They're like a gay couple. And, yes. And you know, they called Bill Clinton America's first gay president, first black president. And, you know, Bill Clinton wasn't exactly the best for gay rights. And in hindsight, you know, it's certainly don't ask, don't tell. And, you know, I mean, that's a whole nother enchilada there.
Right.
So what does it mean for to have an openly gay man become president? Will he be better, for example, for passing a non-employee non-discrimination clause? Because that's something he's actually talking about on his campaign.
Right, right.
But is somebody like Bernie Sanders, if he becomes president of the United States, would he be able to galvanize enough political support to actually get that passed, as opposed to somebody who's sort of has to defend their existence as a homosexual?
Here you are, you're the president of the United States, and you're like, I don't have the same rights as you do.
Yeah. He could get fired from being president of the United States for being gay.
Trump could get a law passed. He's like, you can't be president if you're gay. If you elect a gay president, the president who's already president gets to stay president.
Well, yeah. I would have been surprised if that actually happens, but Pete Buttigieg might, and this is my concern about him, is that he's, as if I were in his shoes, or any gay man were in his shoes, I would be concerned that he might have velvet rage in making decisions. I would be concerned that he might have something to prove. And he might be more butch than heterosexual. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might be
overcompensating.
The same way Obama actually was when first became president. I think Obama had a bit of imposter syndrome that he, on some subconscious level, felt he didn't deserve to be president of the United States. And he was president of the United States. And instead of going in, you know, aggressively and passing universal health care, which he could have done.
And those two first years, so much could have happened. And just, he just let it go.
And I think that was tied. We talked about it on the podcast, that it was tied to him being unsure of himself.
Right. But it also is tied to, like a lot of people say, you know, especially our good friend Lady Bunny, is like, in many ways, these parties are very much the same. They really don't want that much change.
Well, and so you're saying that, I mean, do you think that Pete's going to take the ticket at this point? There's really not a lot of information.
There's not a lot of information. There's not too much that we know. We don't know where things will lead. It's okay. You can support, at this point in time, you can support every single candidate out there. And someone, you can send every candidate money, every candidate you can lend a voice to. You can retweet all these people. You don't have to pick one at this point in time. And in many ways, you don't even get the choice. The only thing that you get, you know, the people in Iowa, they're the ones that make the choice. New Hampshire, those are the ones that make the choice. You don't really have a say. So what you want to do is you want to support everyone.
And, well, you can't obviously support everybody. You know, it's like you have to
give a dollar to every single one of them.
Yeah, and about all 37 candidates.
Well, this, like, the top tier, right? The people who you think might really take it.
I'm excited about Bernie Sanders. I'm excited about Buttigieg. I'm excited about. I'm a bit excited about Kamala Harris, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think Kamala Harris is going to get any. Anywhere.
People do seem to like her. She does have a lot of charisma, you know, and the main complaint about her is she was a prosecutor for years. And so people are really, one of the things that really needs to be changed around in this country is our prison system and our judicial system. It seems that it's unfair. A lot of people, especially like here in Chicago, every day we're getting news stories of people who have been exonerated for crimes that were committed like 20, 30 years ago. People have spent half their life in prison.
Yeah, and Buttigieg, he had a tiff with the head of the police in
South Bend.
South Bend. And I guess he got fired because he was being investigated, and then he sued the city for racial discrimination.
Oh, okay.
So there's, you know, and also one point in time, Pete said that misquoted All Lives Matter when talking about racism and the police and violence. And later on, he sort of like said, oh boy, that was a big mistake, you know, and, you know, he didn't intend to sound like that, but that's what it came out as.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm very happy that an openly gay man has made it this far.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing him in the debates.
Yeah.
I'm also, if he does get picked as a vice presidential candidate, it'll certainly be very interesting to see him debate Mike Pence.
I know, two hotties from Indiana, huh?
Well,
listen,
one of the most anti-gay, most conservative, most regressive candidates from Indiana debating one of the most progressive pro-gay candidates from Indiana.
He's still kind of really a hot-looking daddy, though, right?
He's totally got Johnny Quest's dad.
Johnny Quest's dad's boyfriends. Race. That was
was Race Bannon?
So it was Johnny Quest as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And his friend was Haji.
Uh-huh.
And then
Bandit
was the dog. And then his father was the redhead with glasses, right? With
Dr.
beard.
Quest.
Dr. Yeah. Quest. And the other guy was
Race Bannon.
Race Bannon. Is that his name? Yeah. Okay, you're right. Race Bannon.
The blonde guy who looks like Mike Pence.
Yes, exactly.
He was a little albino or something.
Something like that, yeah.
He was a silver daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks a lot like Mike Pence.
Yeah.
I would say, like, you know, I love goofy guys. I love guys with low voices. In terms of, like, how sexy is Pete? I would say he's definitely on. He's got Mark Felian heat.
I think out of a 10, I want to see shirtless. Is he hairy? What's going on there? Does he have pecs? Is he skinny? He's Eastern European, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, sometimes they're very fortunate in that, you know.
How many languages does Pete?
I think something Buddha like five, Italian, speak. French, Spanish, Maltese, which is an interesting...
And Norwegian, doesn't he speak
Norwegian?
Norwegian,
yes. Chère Peter, du er veldig kjekk. Og jeg vil gjerne vandre I skogen med meg. Text meg.
What the hell are you saying?
I just said I thought he was very cute and we should go for a walk in the woods.
Oh, that's so romantic. Text me.
Text me, yeah.
Call me, girl. Call me, playa. Hey, playa. Call me.
Jason's like unplugging this podcast, right? Stop listening to this.
Stop
right
listening to Feast
you
of Fun.
You nut.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Pete Buttigieg took him a long time to come out. He came out like in 2015,
right.
The same year he started his Instagram page.
Well, he had already been elected mayor, right? And so he was running
a year before he became mayor. Yeah.
So
around the same time.
And so then he ran for re-election, and I guess he was already, so he came out before the re-election.
Yes.
And he came out. And, you know, he said he dated women for a while because he tried to figure out which part of him was straight. you know, if there was part of a thing. And so eventually he was just kind of like, and he'd come out earlier to, in his 20s, to some of his friends and whatnot. But it wasn't until he was like really out at the age of 33.
Well, in a lot of ways, your life mirrors Pete Buttigieg's life, doesn't it? And in this, that you were sort of like a late coming out.
I'm from a different
era,
though.
You were dating women and yeah. you know, served in the military and speak Norwegian. And
I did work for the Department of Defense, yeah, but I wouldn't say that I worked in the military. But I'm also, you know, I'm a little bit older than him. So it's a different time. And, you know, I'm really glad that somebody, you know, from his generation and his age that is taken seriously as a contender. Because, you know, in my life growing up, I would have never thought something like that would be possible. But, you know, I want to say to all the listeners out there, especially the older people, all of you out there are the reason why Peter is able to do what he did, because you came out 20 years ago. You came out 30 years ago. Some of our listeners came out 40, 50 years ago. And just because, and when you think about it, Stonewall was 50 years ago. Or the start of the gay civil, what we call now the gay rights movement, before it was like the, you know, people still fighting for it, the homophile movement. But that's been 50 years, and it's been 50 years since the start of a movement before we got somebody who is a serious contender as president. So, you know, progress, it takes a while.
Do you think Pete Buttigieg is going to be at the Stonewall celebration this summer in New York City for the 50th anniversary?
I would imagine he'll have some kind of something somewhere.
Honey, you better reserve your hotel room if you're going, because I'm already calling my friends, but I'm sleeping on your sofa. That's going to be pretty impressive.
That's going to be pretty impressive. We actually talked to our friend Jason. He said we could come and stay with him. But part of me is just like, man, I'm seeing all this stuff that's going on. And I think New York for Stonewall, it's going to be a madhouse.
It's going to be a shit show.
Yeah, it's going to be a shit show.
A rainbow shit show.
It's going to be a rainbow shit show, and it might be just... I mean, part of me wants to witness it, because there's going to be a lot of stuff happening at Times Square, and our friend lives right by Times Square, so it'd be like able to just scoot right over. And then
New York has
back.
Great population control, you know? It's like, I went and celebrated the 4th of July with my friend Jason and his partner, his husband, Michael. We went to Coney Island. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die here. You know, it's like there were so many people. There's something terrifying to be in New York City on the 4th of July and you're hungover.
Yeah.
And you're just standing there and there's, you know, at least 1,000 to 2,000 people surrounding you shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
You, if you've got to pee, you're going to pee on the floor right in front of yourself. Like, there's no way you're going to get out of there in the next 2 or 3 hours. And I'm just like, man, you know, what can, you know,
they
so I'm
control.
Really terrified about that stuff. And you know what? We were safe. We had a wonderful time and everything went fine.
I would have thought like people would have like left the city for the 4th of July, gone out to the country and other places.
It's definitely a tourist thing. You know, we went to watch a hot dog eating contest.
Oh, woof.
Well, no, it's not as sexy as it sounds. It's mostly like people just shoving mush into their mouth.
But, you know, we mentioned in the intro that, you know, Pete, he held his announcement, his rally, his candidacy announcement on Palm Sunday, which I thought was kind of unusual because, you know, it's a religious day. It's a Sunday and a lot of people do stuff with their family. They go to mass, do other things. But, you know, Palm Sunday in Christianity is one of the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and people hailed him as like the Prince of Peace. Because, you know, when a king comes into a city, if he was conquering a city, he would come in like on a horseback, all triumphant. But here came Jesus, and he was very humble. And it's interesting that Peter chose the old Studebaker factory, which they, you know, they used to make cars there, and they haven't made cars there. God, I don't know when did the Studebaker stop being made, in the 50s or 60s. It's been a long time. So it's interesting that he chose that, you know, like mode of transportation area to make his announcement, to be like, I will be your new gay messiah.
I will be your gay savior. Yeah. Jesus was gay too, wasn't he?
You know, they say in the Bible that Jesus loved James the most.
What's Buttigieg's husband's name?
Chasten.
Chasten. That's a white guy's name.
That is a waspy name if I ever heard one, right?
What's first gentleman Chasten going to be like?
Mm.
He'll probably be a co-host on the Ellen show. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, for sure. I mean, how many times has Pete been on Ellen already?
He's been on it once.
Oh, only once?
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be on there every other week or something.
I hope Ellen can get him elected the way Oprah got Obama elected. Yeah. Yeah. But because people love Ellen. I mean, they're drunk for Ellen. They're like, even Ellen doesn't like Ellen as much as, you know, her fans do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you poor dear, are you about to die here?
I have a little bit of a cold.
I have a little bit of throat condition.
A little something.
They're rebuilding the entire neighborhood here in Andersonville, here in Chicago. And
a lot of construction.
We had this crazy weather today, and it's just the with the weather and all this dust and construction, our health has not been good this past week.
It's been like allergies, and I think the allergies just turned into a cold. I don't know what's going on.
I'm turning 16th. I mean, sorry, this Tuesday I'm turning 47.
Wow.
Yeah. All this year, I thought I was already 47. I was turning 48. I'm actually turning 47.
Well,
so I'm
going to
be a decade older than Pete.
Oh, he's 38.
37.
Oh, really?
A candidate, honey.
Oh.
That's what it said.
Oh, maybe if he gets elected, he'll be 38 or something like that.
Correct.
So Julian Assange just got arrested. He was pulled out of the Ecuadorian embassy. By the British secret police or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not been taken back to the United States yet, but people are very concerned about his cat.
Yes. Assange calls his cat Embassy Cat.
Aw.
Maybe I adopted you for a little meow blicity.
Aw.
You can't say publicity because that's what we did for Jesse.
Yeah.
But yeah, Julian Assange, I guess he was being seen as this kind of heartless, you know, weirdo conspiracy guy. And some publicist said, why don't you adopt a cat? You know, at least it'll keep you company and stuff. And then he put a little cute little necktie collar on the cat, and people just became obsessed with the cat. So when Julian Assange got arrested, people were like, what's going on with the cat? Who's taking care of the cat?
So who's taking care of the cat?
They don't say, nobody said, but Wikipedia just made a very strange statement saying the cat is okay.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Because you know, in Ecuador, they do eat cat.
They do.
I worked with a guy and he was from Ecuador, and I talked to him because I went to Peru, and I guess, you know, in northern Peru, they ate cat as well. And I asked him, I said, what does cat taste like? And he says, just like dog. And I was just like, really? He's like, yeah. I was just like, okay. But you know where cats really are in risk is in California. They did a study. They followed because coyotes are just running all over the cities in California. And they examined like 3,000 stool samples from coyotes. And I think they said that they're being more attracted to the cities because people are planting a lot of fruit trees there. And photographer Austin Young, who photographed
all the drag queens, Devin Green.
Yeah. And filmed The Worm with Nadia Ginsberg. That's how we fell in love with Nadia.
One of the greatest independent films of all time.
Yes,
where Nadia Ginsberg debuted her ability to imitate Winona Ryder, Britney Spears, Madonna, Cher, and I'm blanking on the fifth person she does.
Britney Spears.
It's the Unholy Trinity. It's mostly Madonna, Cher, and somebody else.
Uh-huh.
I'm blanking out, but also Winona Ryder and Britney Spears as well.
And so it was brilliant. And then we were like, oh, we fell in love with Nadia. And we said, you have to come on. So anyway, he has an organization called fallenfruit.org, and they make art installations, public art, and plant fruit trees in public spaces, you know, so that everyone can enjoy it. Because they're like, we have all this space in California. Let's put some trees in there. And so this fruit that they're planting and what other people are planting in their homes, like grapes and you know, pear trees or whatever, is attracting the coyotes because a good portion of their diet is like fruit that's fallen, but 20% of their diet is cats.
Meow.
So if you have a cat in California, you should probably keep it inside.
Yeah.
Not only so that it doesn't get eaten by coyotes, because, you know, in some ways I adore cats, but they're predators too.
Eat birds.
They eat a lot of birds. They do eat the rodents and stuff like that, but they say that like our bird life is devastated by these cats. But
a video camera on those cats, and they're just like chomping up animals and birds all day long. Yeah.
They just sit there and wait, and they just kind of hide, and then they just pounce, and there they go. But I support Fallen Fruit, and I think it's great. And, you know, listen, the coyotes don't really, they don't bother humans that much. Yes, there is some interaction, but if you see a coyote, leave it the fuck alone.
Yes, sir.
You know, don't touch it. Don't approach it. Don't try and get it. It will leave you.
Don't get naked and take some mushrooms and try to talk to it, thinking it's Loki, the trickster god.
You know, I saw some coyotes on the lakefront. I videotaped them like running out on the ice, and it was beautiful. You know, I love
the police were asking you, like, is that someone's dog? And you're like, no, that's a coyote. And they're like, thank God.
They're like, good. That's not my job.
So you're obsessed with the story of this polyamorous family who's raising their children out in nature.
Yes. These bald eagles.
They're not
eagles.
Humans. They're eagles.
Yes. They're bald eagles. They're living on in Illinois along the Mississippi River. And so there's three of them, right? And so originally there was Valor 1, Valor 2.
That's the name the scientists gave to the dads. Yes.
So originally it was Valor 1 and Hope were together, and they had babies and eggs, and he's supposed to go out and hunt and bring food back and sit on the eggs. You know what I mean? Then she could do the same kind of thing too, but he wasn't doing his job. And so she would have,
he was a deadbeat falcon dad.
Yeah. He was a deadbeat,
eagle.
Raptor.
Sorry. Deadbeat raptor.
Yeah. Deadbeat raptor. He's a bald eagle. And so he wasn't doing his job. So this other guy came along too, Valor 2. And so then the three of them were kind of like cohabitating. And he's kind of stepped up because the other guy's like, listen, you need to, this is what you need to do.
So Valor 2, the bald eagle who's responsible, got Valor 1 to start stepping up and being a good eagle dad.
To be a good eagle dad.
Look at those low rates. Yeah. That's a Chicago joke.
But then Hope was out like doing some stuff, and then she gets attacked by these other eagles. And so they have some of it on video, and like she, like they're really going at it, and they don't actually.
They attacked Hope.
They
attacked
the mother.
The mama bird.
And so they don't know what happened to Hope. Did Hope get, did she get scared off? Did she just fly away? And so then the two dads just started taking care of the eggs, and then and were feeding them for the next couple of weeks. And the hawks were coming down. These other eagles were coming and terrorizing them like daily for a while, and then intermittently for a while. Now it seems like they've gone away. And so like these two guys, they come back to the nest, you know, after the season, and then they get another girl, Star. And so now it's
a star is born.
And so it's now it's Star and these three eagles, and they're all making babies together.
That's how, so polyamory is as American as with bald eagles, literally doing this. It does take a village to raise a child, and you know, many types of mammals and birds and animals and whales do this too. And you know, their chances for survival are better if we're tribal.
Mm.
And then this kind of weird period in human history that we're living in, where we're very nuclearized, we live in these little apartments alone or with our partners, we don't live in communities, we don't live in communes, and you know, for the most part of our history, that's not been the case.
And Marx would say that is one of the strongest tenets of capitalism, is to create the nuclear family and have them just dependent on themselves, and therefore they are dependent on the boss man.
But I've lived in, I've spent time in communal experiences, and there's definitely a drawback to that as well. And, you know, sometimes when you imagine, you know, it's like when you have a shitty roommate, that's just a shitty roommate. Yeah. You can, you know, move out or find another place to live or whatever. If you're in a commune or a community, you know, and you have shitty roommates or shitty leadership, you're kind of fucked, you know, it's like there's sometimes there aren't any other options or leaving that community or that type of tribe can be a very traumatic experience for people. So, you know, and in, you know, in some ways, like large extended families can have a dysfunctional relationship too. But I think, you know, if we as a society started driving towards, again, having more tribal relationships with each other, we better do it carefully, you know, because you know you could have other types of oppression that are just as painful as the type of oppression we live in today under the nuclear system that we have. So that's
well, we don't call it tribal now, we call it community. We live in communities, right?
Well, you know, if you don't like your neighbor, you don't really have to, you know, there's not much you have to deal with, you know,
right?
Like, you know, I have neighbor, I've had people who, you know, play their music too loud or walk too, you know, loudly at certain times of the night, who didn't, you know, pick up their garbage or their mail or whatever. But that's more of a nuisance, you know. Another thing is, like, if you're in a community where, you know, food isn't being delivered on time or meals aren't being made or bills aren't being paid or, you know, people are being harassed, or, I mean, it can be, you know, tribal living is not always this ideal thing that people who not experienced it understand what it's like, you know?
Sometimes you just want to live by yourself and be free.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like the Unabomber here, you know, but you know, sometimes just being alone and recharging can be a very powerful thing, too.
And one thing you can do to recharge is watch our latest episode of Cooking with Drag Queens.
Yes, baby! Oh, my God. I got to tell you guys, T.S. Madison is one of my favorite people in the world. Mm. And she represents so much goodness and interesting. She represents for us, and you know, you guys who have listened to this podcast for a long time understand how much we love someone like T.S. Madison. And we've had different types of personalities of this sort of this dynamic, strong, funny woman who uses her experiences being a transgender person to inform her humor. Mm. And she just has so much charisma and so much wisdom in everything she does.
Right.
And so we, you know, we successfully did a Kickstarter for Cooking with Drag Queens, and she was the first person we had. And, you know, T.S. Madison was fantastic. And this past year, it's been really hard for us. Like, we ran into some major health scares and major calamities. And not to mention, you know, T.S. Madison screaming the entire time we were fit to AP Cookie with Drag Queens
was loud.
Was a technical hurdle that was really hard to overcome. And so here's an interesting story is when we were taping our podcast with Francois Diva Man Clemens, the first black actor on children's television on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, there were a bunch of audio problems in that interview. That there was just all this static noise that made it almost unlistenable. And I was in tears.
You were crying.
Because it was something that I couldn't figure out how to fix. And I called my customer support representative at Sweetwater Audio, free plug there. And his name is also Pete as well.
Aww.
And he made a recommendation. He said, send me the audio and I will fix it for you.
That's so sweet.
And he sent it back, and it was fixed. And that's why we have that interview with Francois.
And because what you learned from that experience is what you were able to fix it, right?
And so Pete at Sweetwater said, hey, you know, all this stuff can also be used for your problems with T.S. Madison. And so we fixed that, and moving forward, honey. And yes, God.
And right now it is available for people who have supported our Patreon. You can do that at patreon.com/feastofun. Just costs $1 to support the Patreon.
Yeah, it just starts at $1, honey.
And then, of course, the people who at Kickstarter have paid for it, so we will also make it available to them as well before it is released to the general public.
And if you, that basically is, you know, the where we're going with this is we're trying to keep Cooking with Drag Queens going by making it in an ongoing series, so we're not doing a crowdfunding campaign. But the only way we can do that is if every listener just signs up, you know, just $1 or $2 or $5 or $7, whatever you can afford. And you go to patreon.com/feastoffun and sign up there. You can start watching. You can get all the recipes and behind the scenes photos and videos. And we have a new series, too. Do you want to know what it's called?
Yes.
It's called Raw Honey. Ooh, it's not a porn. One of the things that people, as much as people love Cooking with Drag Queens and love the drama that unfolds in our kitchen, they also very curious about what was said in those talking head interviews that didn't make it. Cause we taped for about an hour.
Yeah. Lots of stuff.
And with these talented people. And so I decided, to put the choice cuts, the most tender morsels together into one new video series called Raw. And so you're going to have, Trixie Mattel and Shea Coulee and Kim Chi, all the drag queens from Cooking with Drag Queens, Lola Von Miramar, everybody is going to be, you're going to be seeing what their lives were like when those were being made. Yeah. And you're going to see the choice cuts, the raw footage that didn't make it into the show.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. You guys are going to really like it. And so again, you can go to patreon.com/feastoffun.
Yes, honey.
So there's an artificial intelligence who had looked at all the information that it found online about Game of Thrones and has figured out who at the end of the series will most likely end up on the Iron Throne.
Who is it going to be? Is it going to be the lady who has the dragon? I'm guessing that's not going to be her. The albino lady with the dragons. Yeah.
Well, she's not albino.
Or platinum blonde, yeah, or whatever.
She's just very fair, right?
Yeah.
Because she's of old Valerian stock.
Valerian's that herb you take when you can't sleep.
That's exactly right. It's
magic
powder.
Is there something tied to her name that she's like puts people to sleep or something?
No, not at all.
I got to tell you, I haven't been watching Game of Thrones. It just seems like a lot of mumbo jumbo to me, and I know it's like the hot TV show on television, but it just sounds to me like Buffy open the portal, the power, blah blah blah, you know. It just sounds like magical gobbledygook. And there's something to be said about Harry Potter that you can watch it and it draws you in, but with Game of Thrones I'm just like,
Harry Potter's very simple. It's only like 8-9 hours. Like, how many hours? 9-10 hours of stuff. This is eight. You're looking
eight
at the
seasons.
Eight seasons.
Yeah.
Right? And these shows are like, they're over an hour long. Some of them are going to be closer to 2 hours. We're going to get like eight episodes or six episodes that are very long. The thing is, though, is with, you know, this is not really a spoiler because it's just an AI trying to figure it out of who's going to live and who's like most likely to die. Most likely to die is going to be Bronn. They say he will probably die soon. And then who's going to end up on the throne, according to the AI, is going to be Daenerys Targaryen. But I...
Wait, you're talking so fast. Even if I wanted to know about Game of Thrones, I'm not going to catch on. So people who are watching the series are very fascinated with the outcome. Because it's a puzzle that's unfolding.
Well, it's, you know, it's cloak and dagger. It's palace intrigue.
And so scientists put in all the data, all the plot points into a supercomputer.
Yeah.
And guessed what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah.
But isn't this just like RuPaul's Drag Race? If everybody thinks it's going to be one thing, they're just going to have a different outcome.
It could be, you know. The thing is that we've had people on the show that people have really loved and adored, and they've just been killed and they're gone. And the thing is the guy who wrote the book, Geiger or whatever his name is, he said, you know,
George Martin is
George
his name.
Martin, yeah.
Not H.R. Geiger, though.
H.R. Geiger. George Martin. And so he, you know, most of the people, they die because of their own hubris, their own idea that like, oh, I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm more intelligent. I can do anything I kind of want. And they're very proud people.
Sure.
So when you see people getting very proud, you kind of like, ooh, that gauntlet's going to come.
And it comes.
And it's, you know, it's humility is very, like, that's why Jesus rode into that donkey, you know. He got killed too. But
yeah, things didn't turn out so good for Jesus.
Humility is very important, is what I'm saying. Right?
Yeah, but, you know, not dying is also good.
Yes, not dying. So being humble and not dying is very good. But I mean, you should be proud of who you are, but you shouldn't be like, I'm better than everyone.
What is this green glowing energy that they build bombs off in Game of Thrones? What is that?
Oh, I forget what it's called, but it's like fire water or something. And they blow stuff up with it.
You know, the funny thing is, when I was a teenager, I was into Dungeons and Dragons, the cartoon. In a huge way, I would collect like little dragon statues and, you know, orbs, magical orbs and gemstones and all that stuff. And then, and I was like that lady who collects frogs and they actually give her a frog.
Yeah. In Little Britain.
In Little Britain. She's like, ew, I don't like frogs. She kills it. Yeah. I was the same way for my birthday. They gave me a game of Dungeons and Dragons because I was basically one of those kids from Stranger Things. I was one of those kids. And only I didn't have my posse, you know. I had a posse for a little bit of time, but we went to different schools and stuff like that. And I was just like, I can't make sense of this game. This makes absolutely no sense to me.
Well, you don't like games, really.
Well, I was just like, I was fascinated with the die. And I was like, how does this even work? I had nobody to play it with.
You get very confused by games.
They gave me the game by myself.
Yeah.
Can you play Dungeons and Dragons by yourself?
Not really,
It sucks, right?
You need to have friends. They have clubs for it in schools. And
yeah, but I was in Puerto Rico. I'm not going to find other Puerto Ricans.
Dondones and dragones.
Dragones y...
Tostones. If it was tostones in Dungeons, you'd have done it.
I was like, I don't understand what this shit is.
So anyway, the season premiere, season 8, was...
It
kicked off. It was last night. You know, we got to see some stunning dragon riding, which was very fun. Always fun to see those dragons. And every time I see those dragons, I always think of Jesse. Jesse's my little dragon. He looks like a little dragon.
Our dog is growls at me when I approach Mark. Very much like the
mother of dragons.
The albino lady and her dragons. Yeah. When she's, you know, she's, I guess, dating this guy.
Yeah.
Who might, you know, usurp her throne.
They're cousins.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a Southern family tale.
Uh-huh. And one of the dragons.
And so she kisses him and the dragon's like, "Arr."
Yeah.
He's not into it. The dragon has opinions. Like Cardi B.
Well, no, the dragon's kind of like, he's sussing him out because that dragon is just like, I know you're the true heir. You know what I mean? Because the dragons have that sense, right?
There's looking at him.
There's looking at him. They know.
So Cardi B, the, you know, she's my homegirl. Uh-huh. She's Puerto Rican. I'm the Cardi B of podcasting, just in case you guys didn't know that. But
if you have to say you're the Cardi Boricua. B of something, you're the Cardi B of nothing.
The Cardi B, my Boricua sister, she was interviewed on the red carpet by Mark Malkin of Variety, asking her if she would ever make up with her arch nemesis Nicki Minaj and perform with her. And Cardi B just kind of looked at him like in silent shock. And then Mark Malkin responds going, "Oh," but like a totally stiff, like, "Okay." And then she looks at him and she just goes, it was the strangest sound that came out of Cardi B's.
She's got a great sense of humor.
Oh, wow. That was so, the internet's all excited about Cardi B's laugh.
What's up with the mashed potato phantom?
What you tell me. You're the one who was giving out mashed potatoes at Pride about 5 years ago or something.
Oh my God, that was more than five. That was almost, I'd probably say that was 14 years ago.
So, at Pride celebrations, people stand at the sides of the road, shoving their hands out, saying, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, gimme."
They will take whatever you have in your hand.
And Pride celebrations are good marketing opportunities for people to pass out, you know, 2-for-1 movie tickets, drink,
condoms,
beads, candy,
handkerchiefs,
business cards, t-shirts,
cozies,
all sorts of shit, you know.
Fidgets.
So if you like free shit from corporations, go hang out at Pride and stand on the front row and stick out your hand. You're going to get cool shit. And at the same time, Mark decided, why not pass out mashed potatoes?
I made a joke. I said, "Listen, I'm going to go to the Pride parade. I'm just going to have a bucket of mashed potatoes. I'm going to dig my hand into it and just slap. When people are like asking for stuff, I'm going to just give them mashed potatoes in their hand like that." But then I was just like, well, that's a really bad idea because they're just going to take it. They're going to get mad. And they're going to throw it back at me.
Yeah, and you'd be covered mashed potatoes.
And so then people are like, "Oh, you got to bring mashed potatoes to the Pride Parade." And so I actually did. I made some mashed potatoes and I took them before the Pride Parade and I passed them out in a little cup. And I had this boy named Andy who I had met at a party
the night before.
No, just like that morning.
Oh, that morning.
And I had a thermos of gravy and I put the mashed potatoes and he poured the gravy and people looked at me like I was weird. And I, you know what I said to them? I said, because they were like worried about eating, I said, "You can trust me. I'm a celebrity." And you know what? It worked.
Did they eat it?
They all ate it and they loved it and they thought the mashed potatoes were fantastic. Because you know what I did is I bought a bunch of instant mashed potatoes.
Ew.
And then I mixed them with real mashed potatoes. So it had chunks of real mashed potatoes in it. So people thought it was real mashed potatoes. Yeah.
Our secret cooking with drag queens episode.
You do half and half and you're great.
Yeah,
they'll never know.
You know, but a lot of people don't realize like those Cooking with Drag Queens episodes are so much work in just getting the recipe right before we actually start taping it.
Yeah,
and we go through like all these arguments and discussions, and we try different things, and sometimes it's just like, oh, this is not going. Like, here's an example for the third Kickstarter video. We were going to make Petty Fours shaped like unicorns. And we got pretty far in that concept. Then the morning of, I was like, "This is not going to cut. We need a new idea." And Mark's like, "Why don't we just make some candy popcorn wigs?"
Yeah.
And poof.
Lo and behold.
We got those wigs up in 2 hours or something. It was crazy.
You know what it is? I made one wig as proof of concept. And then I was just like, "Oh, let me do another." Did we just do two?
And we did two.
Part of me wishes we had done three. I want to do three. When I do the Rice Krispie wigs next time around.
Because I guess any kind of like sticky material can be shaped into a wig and colored. And with
Rice Krispies too, not only could you shape it into something, you could also like and leave it in that form, but you could also like saw it too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sorry. So we got off the track, and I guess in Mississippi, in Jackson, Mississippi, somebody is mysteriously leaving piles, bowls of mashed potatoes all over the city.
Yeah.
And people are a little bit afraid. They're thinking that those might be poison. They're trying to poison some animals or just some nonsensical. It's kind of like that one for a while. There were people dressing up as clowns, not Bianca Del Rio, and terrorizing communities, just walking. It just, you know, whoever was doing it stopped doing it, and that was it. And I think that part of it is like, you know, in terms of the media right now, like even us, we're like starving and thirsty for an article or a story that has, you know, a clown terrorizing people in rural communities. That's not Trump or Bianca Del Rio or Lady Bunny or somebody, you know, mysteriously doing strange things for no reason at all. And it might have some more sinister motive.
People are always going to do weird stuff and people are always report on it for sure.
That's true.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you haven't joined our Patreon yet, you can do that today at patreon.com/feastoffun.
For just $1. Now, the dollar gives you access to like behind the scenes photos and videos and some goodies. Then, you know, you will like the cool thing about being part of the Patreon is it'll start notifying you when shit goes up.
Yeah.
So,
and also too, it's like, you know, it's that dollar is like, it's you're supporting the podcast with that dollar. This program you're listening to is made possible because that $1, maybe you can't afford at this point in time to do our plus subscription on Feast of Fun, which is really the best way to support us, because, you know, Patreon doesn't take that much of a cut.
The plus membership gives you everything we do.
Yeah.
It gives you the whole enchilada. And, you know, Patreon is about making what we do accessible to you. And I know a lot of you guys have asked us to do Patreon, and we need to see you guys support it. Step up. You know, right now we just have 10 subscribers there, and there's literally like 10,000 people who download the show every single minute of the day. And it's like, you know, I just would like to see a little bit more people stepping up. You come out like Mayor Pete did in 2015. And say, I believe in Feast of Fun.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
Send Pete a dollar, but send a dollar to Feast of Fun first.
Yeah. And you could do that at patreon.com/feastoffun. Mm-hmm. So people are very excited about the black hole. It was the first photo of an actual black hole. I'm surprised that it took this long to get a photograph of the black hole, considering like Disney represented in film in the 1980s.
Well, is it really a photo, or it's a digital interpretation of information?
No. So here's what it is. When you're taking a photo, when you're trying to photograph astral phenomena like black holes, they're so far away that the light just getting to us is really, really, really powerful, weak. And so the scientists decided to create an array of telescopes to combine all the visible light, all the light, meaning the X-rays that are hitting the Earth, and create, with the aids of computer, a composite photo of that black hole. They've been taking other things as well, and we're going to see some amazing photos in the coming years with this technique. And so the first thing that they did is, you know, they pointed it to the spot of this giant nebula, and in there was what they thought they would see something, and they actually got to see a black hole. They got to see the distortion of the gravity of a black hole as it affects light.
Wow.
And you can see how it's creating this perfect little black hole. And so, of course, flat earthers are immediately just being like, that is fake.
How many flat earthers actually are there in this world?
There's enough to cause trouble. It's interesting how Trump supporters, flat earthers, anti-vaxxers, Jenny McCarthy, Kim Kardashian fans all kind of intersect in this weird desire to reject knowledge as we've come to understand it.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're basing it on new knowledge. They're not basing it. They're trading knowledge or other people's knowledge for feelings, for hunches, for faith. And when it comes to leadership, when it comes to policy, when it comes to the economy, That is a terrible way to rule, and it's a terrible way to live.
I just shared this meme on Facebook. It says, Netflix needs a show called Science Eye for the Conspiracy Guy, where fun geek science people help people discover science, like fashion is empowering and fun, and help them with whatever in life is holding them back. Because, so, you know, if they're believing in the flat earth, if they're believing in, like, anti-vax, they're... Like, there's blockages there. There's things that are happening. They need to open up, right?
So I so all these scientists have been making these kind of like video illustrations of what that black hole looks like when it's, you know, through time, because we're just seeing a frame of it. And it is trippy. So I converted it into an animated GIF.
You did?
And I'm posting that as one of our goodies today on Patreon. And you can set that on your smartwatch or your smartphone and have it animate on there. So when you touch it, the animated GIF goes back and forth. So you can download that to your device and sync it and make that the image, and you can see it animate.
Oh, and I want to tell people, too, if you're in Seattle, I will be in Seattle the weekend of May 17th. I'll be there for the Norwegian National Holiday Parade, which is on May 17th. It's in the evening. And I'm going to see some of my castmates from Alt for Norge, the Norwegian reality TV show I was on, and hope to see you there. Hopefully we can have a little meetup.
What do you have a specific date that people can go to or location?
Well, they can see the parade is on May 17th. And
but they want to meet you. They want to see you. How do they get a hold of you?
They can just stand at the edge of the parade and I can wave at them. So
that's not fun.
I do know that my good friend, Julie, who was, she was my buddy.
Chiascopel.
Julie Chiascopel, who you guys had heard on this podcast. She's actually doing a performance at some place. I think it's called Vito's. Like, she does like lounge cabaret stuff. So she'll probably do some of her Norwegian material. Well, and so she told me that. So I'm staying with her for a couple of days, but I'm also looking for a place to stay for another night.
So if you guys want to spoon with Mark,
let me know. And so, but yes, Saturday night's probably available, and you know I'll be hanging with Julia at her show at Vito's.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast and for all your support. You guys are awesome people. We would not be here without you. God, where would we be without you and your support? It really means a lot to me personally, and I know it means a lot to Mark as well.
Yeah, it does. You guys are the best. And, you know, and I think especially at this time, and I said this earlier in the program, I just want to say it again. It's people like you who have listened to this podcast for years, you people who have been out for years, decades, or even if you've been out for, you know, 6 months, everybody who has come out has made it possible for us to have somebody like Pete run for president. So know that that act that you did is having a repercussion in this world. It is making this world a much better place. And, you know, I thank you for that.
Yeah, even Fred Karger.
Yes.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Do you know who Fred Karger? He was the first openly gay major party presidential candidate in 2012. He ran as a Republican. Didn't get very far.
Yeah.
He didn't even get to top 10.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pete Buttigieg, he's in the top 3 right now, which is shocking.
Amazing.
That is unprecedented.
That's change, baby.
So, honey, if Pete can race it to the top, your dreams can come true. And I want to thank you so much for listening. Bye, everyone.
Bye.